talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I'm about to run to keep from high. And I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the midnight rider.
Chris,
yeah! Oh, that felt good.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
Yeah! 12:02 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you. I got you for 5 hours, taking you all the way to the warm-up show at 5 a.m. We got Rami on the other side. Me and you taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We got a lot to do, but obviously we start with what everybody figured we'd be talking about this morning. Haktua Girl. Let me just start there. Let me start there for a second because I want to get to the freaking game. Because you know what? The game matters. The game matters. As all the talk about whether or not the Yankees had their worst loss of the year seems to come up a lot. No doubt yesterday was the worst loss of the year for the New York Mets. The worst loss of the year. You cannot come back from a end of a road trip being swept by the Seattle Mariners, being inept offensively, which I told you is the part of this team that has to carry them. You cannot come back and lose 2 out of 3 to the Oakland A's. I don't care that they're better than, you know, perception is of the Oakland A's. I don't care that they're better than the White Sox or they're better than the Florida Miami Marlins who you're about to play next. Like, I understand they played relatively well. They're the A's. Their best hitter was that off having a baby. Congratulations to the Rooker family. And you had a 5-run lead. That's the worst loss. And we're talking about who threw out the first pitch. And I understand why. And it's the Mets' own fault. I understand why Sal's screaming about it. I understand where I'm driving in, listening to all the calls about it. I understand. Here's the thing with the Mets. Plain and simple. And I said it while they were going through the Grimace stuff. If you are going to embrace Grimace the way you did, and you are going to embrace OMG and the live concerts they're going to provide after winning a game against the Houston Astros, if you are going to embrace all of that, then you have to live with the idea of every little thing, like a global YouTube or, you know, social media sensation, however they build her, as throwing out the first pitch. Now you have to live with this. And we talk a lot about LOL Mets and LOL Jets specifically. It used to be the Knicks as well, but we kind of, thankfully, Leon Rose has kind of pulled them out of that. But it's just so dumb. And I don't know why. I don't know why everything has legs with the Mets. It is amazing. I don't know why. I don't know why they embrace Grimace. I don't know why they embrace OMG to this level. Having concerts. I don't know why. So many Met fans are still talking about, you know, everything's about Juan Soto. Like, I don't know why we so often talk about so much more. The season started talking about the future, and now we're talking about who threw out the first pitch and whether or not Juan Soto's going to be here next year as the team is failing and falling apart as they were one win away. It was, what was it, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago? They were a win away from Atlanta from being the first wild card. And now you can forget the first wild card. You can forget the second wild card. They are 2 games behind Atlanta, who finally lost to San Francisco yesterday. They are 2 games behind Atlanta for the final wild card. And that's it. That's life. That's the only spot left. And who cares about who threw out the first pitch or if it was camp day or how do you explain? Like, how do you explain it? I'm sorry, I know she gave an interview and, you know, we all know what she referenced and talked about. Great, I get it. It was hilarious. We all got into it. I mean, I've seen bumper stickers with Haktua 2024 all over the place. We see T-shirts. It's the first pitch. How do you explain it to your kids? I don't know. I don't know who this woman is. Sorry. I don't know. It's that easy. Like, why? I don't understand. But it's the Mets. It's the same thing, the same argument I've been making about the Jets, too. Like, the Atlanta Falcons just did the exact same thing the Jets did, took on a trade without giving him a contract, an unhappy player who wants a contract. They trade for him, third-round pick, the whole bit. Don't give him a contract. Now, we'll see how it plays out. But no, they just saw the Jets go through it. They did the same thing. No one's killing Atlanta for it, but the Jets are dopes. Now, we'll see if Judon holds out, and that's another conversation we'll get to. But until you win, this is what we talk about. And when you follow it up, and yes, of course, they ended up blowing the game. I get it. And I don't want to make the jokes. It's low-hanging fruit, and I'd be the 150th guy to the party, so I'm not going to do it. But if you are literally going to blow a 5-run lead on Haktua Girl Day, that's your own fault. And I care much more about blowing the lead than I do who threw out the first pitch. We'll talk about it. You want to call me and talk how it's embarrassing, it's this. A lot of embarrassing lately. The Yankees are embarrassing. Oh, my God, how do you lose to them? I'm embarrassed. Oh, it's embarrassing again for the Mets. You know what's embarrassing for the Mets? This offense. You know what's embarrassing for the Mets? They can't throw a strike. 11 walks to the A's. If you're not challenging the A's, then what are you doing? That's what I'm focused on. That's what I'm pissed off about if I'm a Met fan. Who cares about this ancillary nonsense? Who cares? I don't understand it so much with the Mets, even going back to 2000 with who let the dogs out. Like, it's just, it seems to get such legs with this team, and I don't know why. Now, you throw it hot to a girl and you blow a 5-run lead, it makes it easy. I get it. But I'm more focused on that part of it. This team had a 5-0 lead. Vientos, who finally they made the move and put him in the 2-hole. I remember when they did it with Taylor and Taylor won the game. Great. Vientos should be in the 2-hole. Opposite field power makes you think of, we just saw Juan Soto do it. That's a special type of hitter who has easy opposite field power. And you take out a jump out to a 5-run lead and your starting pitcher, who is supposed to be your guy, right? Who's supposed to be the guy who is going to sort of fill in for the ace role that really I don't even know if Senga could fill in. But while Senga was gone, Quintana was going to be the guy who stepped in and stabilized the rotation, was good for them last year when he came back from injury, has had a, you know, I guess Severino, you could argue, maybe not over the last 5 years because of injuries, but you could argue Severino's had as impressive a career or has had his moments, much like Quintana. But like, Quintana's the guy, when you look back at how he pitched for St. Louis, you look back to the 1 year he was spectacular with Chicago. Like, this was the guy who was supposed to step in and stabilize the team. He's had an up-and-down year, to say the least. He went on a little bit of a run somewhat recently, and he can't throw strikes in this game. And he's walking guys towards the end of this lineup on 5 pitches. What is he doing? And then he gives up the grand slam, and immediately it feels like, here we go. That feeling again. The Mets are so much about the other stuff, and the Mets are so much about feel. To be fair, the Yankees are too, but like when they're going good, when this lineup was going good, like this is the difference in the Mets right now and the Mets at the beginning of the season compared to the Mets a month ago. When this lineup, top to bottom, was performing the way it was, you give up a grand slam and make it 5-4, it's okay. We'll come back. That wasn't the feeling yesterday. The feeling yesterday was that grand slam was, they better figure it out. And then they even come back and get another run, but you still don't feel good about it. And this bullpen has been, you know, what it's been. Reed Garrett has the bloom is completely off the rose of what was one of the better talking points and stories of the season at the beginning of the year. And then you get to the manager who, in my estimation, has done a really nice job, right? I think Mendoza has really done a nice job with this team. Got off to that miserable start. Things were falling apart around him. And he stabilized this team. He got it going in the right direction. He was able to, at the beginning part of the year, do a really nice job with the bullpen. I thought he's held his team accountable. I felt like the Lopez throwing the glove into the stands and immediately saying, hey, you don't want to be here, bye, even while the bullpen was kind of falling apart at that time, and you can, you know, always use an arm. And they just made sure, hey, you know what? You can't pitch in the rotation, you're in the bullpen. You can't hit, you're at the bottom of the lineup. You don't want to be here, see ya. And from that meeting, from that moment, from the walk-off home run from J.D. Martinez against Miami, the team took off. And I think he's done a really nice job. But he did a couple of things in this series in particular that I just don't understand. And let me just start with the first one. Because why Buddha pitched in the first game, I brought it up a little bit when he pitched on Tuesday night. Now, I know that you want to keep him somewhat regular. Like when he did it, they actually did this. There's a Metamucil joke in there. But when they did this a couple weeks ago, and they throw him in a blowout game, and it was kind of like, well, we don't know if he's going to get back into the rotation. You know, we got to, you know, you got to keep him. Like, forget all that. Right? I understand the rotation still has its issues, and we saw it in this game. Buddha is without question. Besides, I mean, even better than Diaz, but Diaz is your closer. He still deserves to be. He hasn't been terrible. He's your best weapon in this bullpen. He's your best weapon. And I understand you went through a stretch day where you didn't win a freaking game and you want to use him. You cannot bring in Buddha in a game where they are down 7-1 to the A's. You cannot bring him in that game. I mean, he ends up giving up 2 runs. He held it for a while. The game did get kind of close. I'm not saying you give up, but he's your best weapon. He's a guy who can come in, get you out of a jam. He's a guy who can come in and give you innings, and you're using him multiple innings when you know this is the problem with having your best weapon be this kind of guy, as much as it's a weapon. And the Yankees saw the same thing with King. As much as it's a weapon, when you don't have him regularly and you can't use him and use him the next day, you have to be so careful about where you pick and choose to use this weapon. And it feels almost as it's worse. Like, you know, you go through, you know, the Yankees brought in Weaver the other day against Texas. You lose that game, you're like, man, they just blew Weaver, and now the bullpen's in disarray. You know, that sucks. Like, yeah, when you have a pitcher who pitches and then needs 2 days off, you have to be pinpoint about when you use this guy. And down 7-1 in the first game of the series makes zero sense. This is a game where Buddha would have been brought in and helped you carry you through all the inning. You need to get 15 outs. You barely got through 6. Before the lead was gone. 11 walks. Why is Buddha in a game that doesn't matter? Throw him in a bullpen. Figure out a way to get him some work if you're worried about stretching him for a couple days without throwing. I don't care what you have to do. These games are too important. The Mets have zero netting. They have zero room for error. They are 2 games behind. There is 1 spot available. That's it. They are battling the Atlanta Braves, who have proven over the last handful of years, this team, whether they lose Acuna or not, this team is going to play better down the stretch of the season than it has all year. You know it. Right? They just took 3 or 4 from San Francisco. The offense eventually will awaken here. They have too many good hitters to continue to be like this. You are battling a team that has won the division almost every year I've been alive. Let alone this group the last handful of years. That's who you're battling with. And that's the difference between where you were a couple weeks ago. It's no longer with obviously San Diego and Arizona doing what they've done. It is no longer okay to just be pretty good. I heard Evan saying this the other day. He's 100% right. 2 weeks ago when this team was playing well and you figured, okay, it might not last and you're at the trade deadline, you're not sure how much you want to impact this team or what you're willing to bring, how much more do you need? And I'll be fair, I don't think they have to win the World Series this year. I think that from where they were at one point, they have to make the postseason. And there was a long stretch where being, hey, you know, an average team slightly above 500 with a dominant offense probably gets you into the postseason. Not anymore. Not with the 2 hottest teams in all of baseball running and hiding with the top 2 wild cards. It's no longer 82 wins and sneak into that wild card position. That's not the situation the Mets find themselves in. They have to be a hell of a lot better. They can't lose this series. Why in the world are you wasting your best bullpen weapon in a blowout loss when you don't have him for multiple days? It makes zero sense. Zero. He was much needed in this game. And then you get to the pinch hitting situation in the 7th inning. So obviously Jeff McNeil's coming up with 2 runners on, 1 out. And Jeff McNeil, throughout his career, now look, I know I'm the guy to be talking about Jeff McNeil and how good he is and you can't pitch hit for him when I was going on this whole thing about how I'd rather have Gleyber Torres. I get it. We've seen what's happened here over the last month with Jeff McNeil. Right? We've watched it with our eyes. He had good at-bats in this game. He got a hit in this game. Throughout his career, he has not been a guy neutralized by lefties. That's just not who he is. This is a batting title champion in the middle of a good stretch. Now, I agree, the last year and a half, he's been brutally bad. And he pretty much, for a long time, lost his job to Iglesias. I'm not saying he's a world beater, but this is not a guy who needs to come out with a lefty. And you've got I understand, hopefully, the next future of face of your franchise, but Alvarez has been struggling. And it's short-sighted because you know what? It's not even in the seventh inning when he doesn't come through and he hits the little ground ball in front and he runs into it and he's called out. It's the last at bat. It's the last at bat of the game. When against Miller in that fastball, you could have someone who's as good with the bat as anybody putting the ball in play, you know, pulling a Jeff McNeil bloop hit, something. Instead, you got Alvarez in there. Now, he hit the ball hard, but I don't like that matchup at all. You've got to be thinking ahead there. It's not only if it was, like, I understand you want to take the lead right there in the seventh inning. You're trying to make it happen right there. But Alvarez isn't enough of an upgrade over Jeff McNeil to make that move right then and there and jeopardize the idea of later in the game when the right, you know who's waiting in the bullpen? I thought that was a terrible pinch hit, not only for the seventh inning, but what ends up happening in the ninth. So I think Mendoza's done a great job this year. By all means, done a great job. And these things are always difficult. I get it. It's the lefty righty. You trust Alvarez. He's come through in big moments. He's had his fair share of big hits, and rose to the occasion. And maybe you're trying to challenge your young catcher to get him out of it. I understand. I'm not going to absolutely kill him for it, but these games are too important to lose. And I didn't understand the move. And I certainly don't understand wasting your best reliever. We've seen it throughout baseball. Aaron Boone, whomever. Like, we can kill Aaron Boone. I get it. And other managers who do wacky stuff. But, you know, so many times 7-1 games become 10-1 games and 11-1 games. And we get embarrassed. Same thing happened against the White Sox in the 12-2 loss on Monday night for the Yankees. It's like, oh, embarrassing. Oh, you know why it was embarrassing? Because he threw the slop out there because I'm not throwing my best relievers to maintain a 6-run deficit. And especially with a guy like Buto who can't pitch for 2 days. And we've seen that with King here. We've seen that with the other reliever is now the starter for the Kansas City Royals. I'm losing my mind. I'll think of it. Seth Lugo, thank you. When Lugo is here, he was the type of pitcher who they would give some length and then wouldn't be able to pitch for a couple days. Like, when you have that kind of, when that is your best reliever, it's a gift and a curse. His ability to come in and do what he can do is immensely valuable. But at the same time, he can't pitch for 2 days. He's too important. Throw in somebody else. You want to keep the game close? Throw in somebody else at the back end of that bullpen who's relatively usable again. He is too important a weapon. And all of that is still not even talking about the offense, which, again, we could talk about the bullpen, and I thought the Buto moves were bad, and we got to the manager, fine. But this team, yet again, it's going to be led by its offense. We saw it again with the starting rotation in Quintana. We saw it with the bullpen. This team is not good enough to pitch you to the playoffs. They're not. The answers aren't out there. The rotation's fine for the most part. It's not going to kill you. It might have today, but it's not going to kill you, but it will not get you there. What's going to get you there is this offense. And yes, they jumped out the 5-run lead. Yes, they scored 6 runs in this game. They did nothing after the fourth inning. Nothing. Against the A's. This offense has got to be better. They have got to be better than 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position. They have been brutally bad since the All-Star break at it. Brutally bad. So we could talk about Hock Tua, and we can talk about all the different things. The fact of the matter is the New York Mets right now are in a position where you look at it, you're going up against the Atlanta Braves, who have beat you to the finish line year after year after year after year. They're two games in front of you right now for one spot. One spot. You got swept and completely shut down in Seattle. You come home, and now you lose the first two of three against the Oakland A's. And you're about to play a Miami team that has ended your seasons. A Miami team who has played everybody else in baseball and in that division terribly except the New York Mets. A Miami team that rises to the occasion against this Met team every single time. A Miami team that haunts the Mets' dreams. The Mets have got to win this series bare minimum. And if they take all three, then you feel like, okay, they're 4-2 against these bad teams. You can live with it. But heading into that Baltimore series, this team has got to figure out a way. They have to win the series. I mean, just have to. And you're looking for a sweep. But this has been a team that has bit the Mets in the ass countless times. Frustrating loss for the New York Mets. We can get to all the, you know, BS stuff around it and the LOL Mets and get mad about who threw out the first pitch and how it carries, stays with the team. Fine, we can talk about it, and I understand it. And here's the fact of the matter is, you know what? Don't, when you get silly and you want to embrace, and I was saying it at the time, how about embracing this offense and the team instead of Grimace? Instead of dressing up like Grimace? Instead of asking Pete Alonso and Nimmo the first question off the field after a great win, oh, you know, you haven't lost since Grimace. You want to wrap yourself in it? You want to wrap yourself in the Grimace? Then get ready to fall to your knees against Octua. There you go. I did it. I had to do one. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. So, yes, the struggles of this offense, the struggles of the bullpen, the inability to, you know, to have your best weapon throw multiple days, and the pinpoint accuracy of when you use them is so important, and I felt like it was mismanaged in this series. The starting rotation, the inability to throw strikes, all of it led to the worst loss of the season, blowing a 5-run lead to the rookerless, their best hitter by far, Oakland A's, and now stepping into a series against a team that has ended how many seasons? How many buildings? It's a huge series for the Mets. Huge. Huge. 888-808-1019. We'll get into the Yankees as well. We'll continue the baseball stories. We take you the next 4.5 hours all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll do a little bit of football as well. I got to address what happened on the morning show this morning and give you my take on the entire situation as my, I don't know, my mental capacity, my honor and dignity were all tested this morning. So we'll have to answer that question. And we'll have a little fun, as sometimes we do with these five-hour shows. We weave a kind of movie theme. And whenever there's like a, especially if there's like a movie thing out in the news or I read a story about it, I usually bring it in here. So we'll have a little fun. We'll get to a little bit of a topic and have a little movie theme throughout the show. So a lot of fun, a lot of yelling, a lot of sucking. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Come back. Continue to take your phone calls all the way to 5 right here on The Fan.